Vayigash, Tavshinayin Tes. Okay. First of all, let's look at it a little bit, just a backdrop here, in terms of Yosef's relationship with all of the Shvatim. It's an interesting thing. On the Choshen Mishpat, on the Ephod, right, in the Choshen Mishpat, I should say, Choshen Mishpat, so all the different tribes appeared, right, all the different Shvatim, they all had their own stone, and the stone of Yosef was a Shoham. And interestingly enough, on the shoulders, right, of the kisvos ephod, in other words, the shoulder straps of the ephod. In other words, what do we have? We have the ephod was like an apron in Parshas Tetzaveh. It was like an apron, and in the front of the ephod was attached to the choshen mishpat, and had all the different stones of the different shvatim. And then on the shoulder straps of the ephod were also two stones as well. And those were called, also were Shoham. So Yosef's stone appears both on the Choshen Mishpat, and also appears on the shoulders of the, what he called, of the ephod, the shoulder straps of the ephod. And on the shoulder straps of the ephod, right, appear the names of all the Shvatim. Right, all the Shvatim.
But they don't have stones.
Just on Yosef's stone. So Yosef has his own personal stone on the Choshen, mm-hmm. which is the Shoham. And then Yosef's stone is also the stone which contains all the Shvatim on the, what do you call, on the shoulder straps of the ephod.
Yeah. Six and six, right?
Right.
Okay.
And that's what we call that. Those are called Avnei Zikaron. The stones of memory, of Zikaron, generating the Zikaron of Klal Yisrael before the Rabbonu Shalom. Avnei Zikaron.
Remember I said before?
No, and as that the presence, it's meant to recall, to be mazkir, to be mazkir the presence of the Shvatim before the Rabbonu Shalom, right? In other words, in his presence. So because Svasem is a few Svasem is here. It says Bechoshna Eifo Tipatach, what he calls Shmos Bnei Yisrael, Kibavada Yudbez Avonim Elohim Shorish Kol Avonim Tovos. Right? Avonim Tovos are there to enhance, they are there for beauty. All precious stones are there for beauty, right? To enhance the wearer of them, as it were. Him shorish kol avanim tovos. This is the Svasemis, right? So all of the, what you call the 12 stones, they're the shorish of all the beautiful stones, the gemstones of the world. They're the shorish. V'lchein avanim tovos tachshitim heim ba'olam ayadeisha kol tachshit habriya heim ha-shvatim lefnei abori yizbarach. Just as the 12 tribes are the tachshit, they are, as we are, the jewelry, kaviyachom haKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world, the 12 tribes, they are the, what do you call, the things that enhance, right, as it were, his kaviyachom, they beautify his presence in the world, the 12 shvatim. So therefore, all avonim tovos are used as means of beautification for, what do you call it, for people. Right. In other words, since these stones are associated with the Shvatim, and the Shvatim are, as it were, the beautiful jewels, the brooches, the necklaces, the rings, etc., the adornment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So too, these stones are used for adornment. Ki Shvatim is shorish le'ila avonim. The Shvatim are, as it were, the makor of the importance of what he called of these stones, as it were. Va'ikar zikaron hu Yosef, and the ikar zikaron, the one who really, as it were, brings up their memory, their presence before their Rebbeinu Shalom, is Yosef. Lachin be'efod hayarak shoham avno shel Yosef ubemtzi is avno shel Yosef kol yud be'shvatim misachdim v'shorshehim. So through Yosef is not just an individual. Yosef is the one who collects all of them. He is the tzaddik, right, that collects all of them, and is through his presence that all of them are remembered, as it were, in a state of zikaron, right? They're before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're always there, as it were, in his presence. Just like when you remember something, right? So you remember something. So we have something of forgetting. We forget, right? We forget. Hashem doesn't forget. The idea of zikaron is what he called, it's active in his presence. It's active in terms of his hashgacha, right? That's zikar. In other words, there's certain things that are as it were, that are the main act of what of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's guidance of the world, and there are things that are peripheral acts. Right? Everything is being controlled by Hashem. But those things that are in a state of zikaron, they're very what we call prominent. So Yosef is the one who brings their prominence before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the other, what he called, the other, the Sasemeses are nice for what he called for Makoros, but it's all basically what he called that same idea. I'm sorry, you're feeling fried. Okay, so now that we know that's what they call that Yosef is the one, is the word, who he collects all the Shvatim, right? He collects all the Shvatim.
He's the main guy. He's the coach.
Yeah, he's right. He's the
coach.
He's the hidden coach.
He's the
hidden coach. In other words, remember we talked about before that the avoda of Yehuda was something they could all relate to more, right? Yosef was like the mind, and Yehuda was more like the heart.
Right.
Right. We talked about that. I can't remember if that was the Sfas Emes or what he called of the Divrei Chaim. I can't remember. But anyway, what he called, but they and Yehuda's, they could see the avoda. They could hold on to it. Yosef was just so high they couldn't grasp it. So he is a coach, but he's a coach sort of like in a fashion that's, you know,
he used the heart.
Yeah. No, he's the head. Yosef is the head. Yehuda's the heart. Okay, Echshia. So what do you call it? So now, Yosef's intentions. So this is from what he called from the Torah HaMincha. Right?
Yosef's intentions.
Right, Yosef's intentions. I think he's a Talmud Rashba, I think Torah HaMincha, I think. He says, Da, Kimirov chemloso aleihem v'tzidkosav asa zeh. There's everything that he orchestrated over here was all out of his, what do you call it, his concern for them. And it's tzidkis. Ki yodea Yosef she'echav asu avera gedola
b'mechirasa. The concern was to see how they were treating his brother Benyamin.
Beseder, that's also part of his raising them up, right? Ki yodea Yosef she'echav asu avera gedola b'mechirasa. He knew they did a terrible avera. Right? We know that whatever was left to require kapara, and as after all that they endured in these, what do you call it, these trips back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, after all they endured and all they were willing to do, etc., they still needed more kapara, and that was why the Asar and Ruge Malchus were killed. So obviously this was a very severe avera. The Asar and Ruge Malchus, what do you call, were part of the kapara.
When during
Yosef's brothers, right, Rabbi Kiva, Rechanim, and Trajon, etc.
He realized that? He saw that in Ruach
Kodesh? Maybe, but they're not addressing it over here, but he's just saying he didn't need to see that to know they did a terrible avera, right? Ubore magodel, godol onesh avera, hazos mimash yechiva aleya Torah misa, dechsiv, vagonev, right? Ishu mechoro nimtza biyado most you must. You know, it's a death penalty. What do you call it? You kidnap a person and sell them into slavery. It's a death penalty. V'hayalim onesh godol b'mechiraso. They deserved a terrible onesh. Ukedei lemarkam me'avonoseim, and so to cleanse them of their avonos lahakil me'onsham, and to lessen the onesh that should befall them. Right? Vulai. Yira, what do you call it? Yira Hashem be'onyam. Once he brings them to a state of suffering, perhaps Hashem will see their travail, right? Their suffering, and perhaps reduce their, what do you call it, the onus that they're worthy of receiving. Asalahem kolze. That's why he did all this. He orchestrated all this. Va'od, like you said, ki b'zeh no delo shechazu b'tshuva shleima sharei masru nafsham kedei lahatzil l'ben yamin. And also he saw, what do you call it, their process of tshuva. Was working in the fact that they were willing to do most of the efforts, primarily Yehuda, for Binyamin. He was willing to stay in his place. He would remain a slave the rest of his life, and Binyamin would return home. So Yosef, as we see from the Avnei Shoham, is the one who puts together the Jewish people, and we see that his whole intention over here is to put them together, to put together the Shvatim, to cleanse them, to raise them up, to bring them to tshuva, etc. So now, the topic here is tears, all the different tears of what do you call that are cried in the parsha, right? Primarily Yosef's tears. it says in Perek Mem Beis, this was, remember, this is back in Mikates. This is back in Mikates. We mentioned it last week.
Mem Beis and Mikates?
Yeah, Perek Mem Beis happens to be in Mikates, yeah. Right? We talked about it last week. The first, he puts him in the slammer, right, for what he called for 3 days.
Yosef?
Right? Put all of them. All of them. Then, what he called, then he takes them out. He takes them out. And then he says, you know, Eslakim Ani Orei, I'm God-fearing, right? It's not right that you all should be in prison. One of you will stay, and all the rest of you go back to your father, right? Back to your father. And then you bring down your youngest brother in order to prove that you're not spies, etc. So we asked, what was the point of all this targil, you know, this whole little thing? You put them all in prison, take it out for 3 days, and what he calls it, say what he, and to say, I'm God-fearing, and that's why I'm... So we mentioned, I suggested the possibility that he was trying to introduce them to the idea of harata, right? In other words, because initially, remember we said from last week with the Ksav Sofer on the Psukim that says that he recognized them and they didn't recognize him, and it says it twice that they would equate that they that he recognized them and he didn't recognize them, they didn't recognize him. So it says twice. I'm saying that he recognized them. It says twice. So the Ksav Sofer says the Pshan in the Rikor in the two recognitions. One was physical recognition; he recognized who they were. The second one is he recognized that Rikor that they hadn't done Shuva. By virtue of the fact that they didn't recognize him physically, shows that they weren't thinking about him, right? And whereas he immediately recognized them because he was thinking about them always, because his love for them, his concern for them, etc. Even though they did him dirty, right? But they were always in his mind. So therefore, when he saw them, he saw them, he recognized them. Whereas when they didn't recognize him, his assumption is because they just pushed it out of their mind. They don't want to think about it, right? They don't want to think about it. So therefore, my vision is not in front of them. So he puts them in jail for what he called for 3 days, all of them. And then he says, no, I changed my mind. Only one of you go in prison. All the rest of you go back. He wants to introduce to them the concept of harata, right?
How so?
Right? Because he says, Lakim ani orei, right? I'm God-fearing, and therefore I've thought about what I was doing, and what I did wrong was wrong as before. What I did before was wrong.
You also said that?
Again, but he quoted, he didn't say it like this. He said, Elokim ani orei, I'm God-fearing. And that's why I'm taking you all out of prison. And only one of you will stay in prison. And the idea being that I just thought about what I did, right, in terms of putting you all in prison, and decided that's not the right thing. That's harata. So that's what I want to suggest, that was why he did it, in order to bring up the topic of harata. The fact is, I saw the other day, I saw the Surah Hamor, says that. You know, Baruch Hashem. He says, the reason he did it...
That's your own Peshat?
That was my Peshat, and then I saw the Surah Hamor said it, right?
Don't you need like three people to substantiate a person's own...
Baruch Shekivanti.
Surah Hamor counts like three people.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
Okay, so now, where's White Fang when I need him? Okay, so now, so what do you call? What is it? So these are the psukim over there. So now, what happened? So then, what happened was then they in fact were mischaret, because they would look over here. They regretted. They had regret.
From what?
After he took them out of prison for 3 days, and he said, you know, it's not right that what I did, only one of you will stay. Then they begin talking amongst themselves. And what do they say?
Uh-huh.
We're responsible, Alachinu, on our brother, Ashereinu Tzora Snafshu. We saw his suffering when he was begging us, as it were, not to sell him. Right, talking back to what happened to Yosef. Right?
They're
being makir in the chait. They're saying what he called, you know why this really cool, this is happening to us? Because we sinned against our brother Yosef.
I thought that happened after they found the one cup in the,
no.
in the thing and they
no.
were going home.
No, that's very good. No. No, they said this before. They said this in the beginning of Mikates. Vayan Ruvain, right? Vayan Ruvain, Osam, then Reuven says to them, Rikul Lemor, Halo Amarti Aleichem, I told you then at that time, Lemor, Al Techtu Vayel, don't sin against the youth. Lo Shamatem Vigam Damo Hineni Drush. You didn't listen to me, and now his blood is being demanded. Vehem Lo Yaduk, Yeshomea Yosef, Ki Amelitz Bein Osam. They didn't realize that Yosef understood, because he always used an interpreter. He used Menashe always, right? As his interpreter, and they didn't realize he understood what they were saying.
So this was Yosef's intention.
Right, he wanted to bring them to Charata. Then the Pasuk says, Vayisov me'aleihem, this is back in Parshas, what he called in Parshas of Miketz.
He didn't put that in that paragraph.
Vayisov me'aleihem, right? He, what he called, he removed himself from them. Vayevk, he cried. Vayashav aleihem, right? He went up in private, and he cried. Right, Vayevk. Vayashav aleihem, and returned to them, Vayedaber aleihem, Vayikach, Vayitamash, Shimon, Vayasros, only name. And he put Shimon in prison alone, and that was it. Okay. Rashi says over there, Vayisov me'aleihem, Nisrachek me'aleihem, he distanced himself from them. Shol Yeru Bolche, he didn't want them to see that he was crying. Vayevk, he cried, Lefisha Shama, Shahoyu Mischartim. Rashi says they cried because he heard they were being mischaret. They were having regret over what they did. He cried. The Gurari says, those tears that he cried, and they shahayu mischartim vahim arachim aleim. So the Gurari says, right, that his tears, his crying over their charata, because he felt bad, right? And as he felt bad that he was causing them pain because he saw they were being mischaret. But the Imri Emes has a different shot in those tears. He says, Vayevk, says the Imri Emes, right, that's the son of Sfas Emes, Hainu shispalo shetekubal tshuvasam, v'ozer lehem b'tshuva b'chia. His tears are tears of tefillah, right? He's crying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should aid them, now that they've started the process of tshuva, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should aid them to complete the process of tshuva. Right?
Say it again.
He cries tears of tefillah,
yeah,
that Hashem should help them do tshuva. In other words, because now that they've started to be mischaret, they started the process, he wants Hashem to show them siyat ha'jamayim. For Hashem to force a person to do tshuva is no great mila, right? That's no great shakes, right? But if I've started it, then Hashem should aid him, so these are tears of tefillah. So that's the way what he called the Imri Emes learns it. Okay? Further. Next. They bring down Binyamin. Right? They bring down Binyamin at the end of Parshas Miketz. It says, Vayamar Yosef ki nichmeru rachamov el achiv vayvakesh livkos vayovo achadra vayev tshama. Right? Yosef. Right? He felt he was getting hot. He saw Binyamin. He saw Binyamin. And he felt he was being overwhelmed by it. He was getting all hot. Recalled from the emotion. Right? Elohim. By vacation, of course, he wanted to cry. He went into his room and he cried there. Right? Says Rashi, what made him cry? What made him cry? It wasn't just seeing Binyamin. He recalled, you see the Rashi over here. Shalom. Yeshlecha ach me'em. Amalo ach hayel. He says, I see, you know, this is recalled. He sees the soothsayer, right? God, I see you have a brother from your mother. He says, Amolo ach hayali, I had a brother. This is Binyamin speaking now. And as Yosef says to him, I see you have a brother from your mother. Right? All these are your brothers from your father, but I hear you have a brother from your mother also. He says, very quote, he says, I had a brother. Ve'en yodea heichenhu. I don't know where he is. Yeshecha banim. So Yosef asked him, do you have children? Amolo yeshdi asara. I have 10 children. Amolo umash.
Binyamin has 10 children?
10 children, yeah. Yeshdi asara. Amolo umash mam. And he asks him, what are their names? And basically, Binyamin goes through all the names, right? All the names of what he called of his sons. They all relate to Yosef. Mm-hmm. To his Yosef's greatness, to what he perceives must have been Yosef's suffering after he disappeared, etc. All about his greatness and all about his suffering.
But Yosef cried more?
Right. So that's what brought him to what he called. So the Al-Sheikh says over here, Achbir also has Achiv Nichmuru Rachamov, the bottom citation here. Al Kol Ashonim Shnit Stair Al Tsarosov Ahibakirbo Ke Ishbo Eras Atsuralo. Right? He cried over Binyamin, right? He cried over Binyamin that all these years Binyamin longed for him and Binyamin suffered, right? Binyamin suffered. So his tears were over the suffering, what he called for Binyamin's pain. So we had, so far, we had Yosef's, what do you call it, tears of tefillah. He cried for his brothers. He cried for his brothers that we call it in tefillah, that Hashem should help them do tshuva. He cried for the pain that, what do you call it, that his brother Binyamin went through, right? And that he named his 10 children for, what he called, for the greatness of his brother, his lost brother Yosef, and for the suffering that he knew he must have undergone. Further. Then, right, in our Parsha, so it says, after Yosef reveals himself, just before Yosef reveals himself, and it's after Yehuda has already said, right, I have to take the place of my brother Binyamin. I took responsibility for it. I take the place for him. So Yosef, what do you call it? Lo yochol Yosef lisapek. He couldn't keep it in anymore, right? Lechol anitzavim alav, in front of all those that were surrounding him.
What's his topic mean?
Lisapek, to hold it in, right? Right, to hold it in. Lechol anitzavim alav. Ayikra hotziu kol ish mealai. He said, "All, everybody else, you get out of here. Everybody leave. Leave me alone with these, with these men here from the land of Canaan." V'lo amad ish ito bisvada Yosef elachav. No one was standing there, right? When he revealed himself to his brothers. V'yiten es kolo bibichi, and he gave his voice to be heard, what he called, bibichi, in crying. V'yishmu Mitzrayim v'yishma beis paro. And Mitzrayim heard, and the household of Paro heard. So Barbanel says, v'lo yochol osi sapek, etc., right? Kefi mashe zachar akosav lamala b'pam rishona.
But then Yosef cries again.
He cries. When he reveals himself to his brothers, he cries. But he cries in a loud voice so that everybody hears him. Right. So the Abarbanel says, hey, let's go here. Do a second paragraph.
What was this cry for?
Oh, that's what they're going to explain. V'nei nasan Yosef is kol b'mchi. He made sure that his voice was loud when he was crying. Right. V'omar akosav v'yishmu Mitzrayim v'yishma beis paro. And so it was loud in his crying, yeah, that the Egyptians outside heard, recall that house of the Paro heard. Why? Lahagid, shalahaya habechi hazeh bechi ava bechiba. This wasn't a crying of love, of affection, right? Kmo sheyivke adam, like a person would cry, bir osu es achiv, shenifred mehem yamim rabim. Or echav, recall, like a person who's he's not seen his brother or his brothers for so many years,
and he
sees them and he cries, recall, because of his love for them that he hasn't been able to show them all this time, right? V'lo haya yodea mehem dover, he didn't know anything about them, right? Ki abechi hazeh hu asher osa oso achar kein kishanoshak echav. He that crying of love and affection after he reveals himself. Then he embraces each one and cries again. That's the love of what we call, that's the crying of love and affection. But this love he hasn't explained yet. This crying he hasn't explained
before
yet.
Before when he revealed himself.
Right, he didn't explain it yet. But he's saying what he called the crying of love and affection is what the Torah describes when afterwards he embraces each one of them and cries upon them. Right? To show his love and affection to them. That's the personal crying of love and affection.
First he cried for all Egypt.
He cried in a way that all of Egypt and all the household of Paro heard.
Yeah, heard. Embrace.
But what was the purpose of it? Avah bechi hazeh, says the Abarbanel, right? The bechi, this bechi, this crying, laharos lamitzrim kilo mala v'yakar be'echov. He wanted to show that record that it's his honor to be related to these people, his brothers, right? In other words, what he called, in other words, it's a crying of, how could I have not been in your exalted presence all this time? Like, keep my loss, that I haven't been in your exalted presence all this time. He wanted to show the kavod, right, to his brothers, so that the midstream, and to the household of Paro, shouldn't say, oh, here's Yosef. He's the biggest person in the land, and Nebuch, he's got these Nebarino brothers showing up. What an embarrassment for him. He wanted to turn the tables and show, Lehefech, it's my honor to be related to them. And my cry because of what he called, I haven't been able to been in their presence all this time. Because he wanted to make a point with his crying. And as his crying, His crying, this is indicative. His crying is not just, I don't have control. I don't have control over my emotions, right? Right? His crying is related. His crying is a crying of what he called a thought that leads to the emotions, and especially over here you see it, right?
Can he have control of his crying?
Again, what do you call it? I mean, everybody, you cry. What do you call it? You cry. You know, it's when you're in pain of one sort or another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here we're seeing all different types of crying. There's crying of tefillah. There's crying of feeling pain for someone else's, feeling sorrow for someone else's pain. Here's a crying that is meant to make a point. He cried over here, what do you call it? He wanted to make sure the midstream heard it.
That was the first time.
Right, but he revealed himself here.
He revealed himself.
Right, right.
Then
afterwards, then he raised them, and he gave God the cry of the blood. Right.
So what was the purpose of the mystery cry?
So the mystery, because he wanted to show here. Look over here. He says, "Aval haya habechi hazeh," this crying, says the Abravanel.
For the Egyptians.
Right. So the Egyptians should hear, not for the Egyptians. He's not crying for the Egyptians. He's crying through the Egyptians should hear his crying for his brothers. He wanted to show the loftiness and the kavod that he has being related to these, we call these men, his brothers, right? His relationship with him was not with them, was not like a person, right? Let's say a person who comes, like we call from a difficult background, right? An impoverished background. And he rises up the social and power echelon ladder. Right? He's way up there. And then his family shows up. Right? And it's like a busha. Lahavdil, 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 el falufi avdolos. If you remember Obama with his, what he called, with his brother. Right? His half-brother living, what he called, in Kenya someplace. What he called. Here he's the president of the United States. And what he called, he doesn't want to be related to, what he called, his brother. What he called, say it, or he's my brother. I don't know, let's talk about it. What he called, he's living in Kenya someplace. He's probably, what he called, running after lions. What he called, and I'm the president of the United States. That grace of team of it. Yeah. What do you call it? In any event, yes, she'al b'malish, he's bayish. The people like that, who rise to high places, and so they're embarrassed of their family. She's bayish, because she yira echav al krovo. We can't match you kolonlo. It's almost a shame for them. The pisha'inam b'madregos, because they're not on his madrega. But who lawyer came? Yosef wanted to make a point of saying, that's not my situation. They are mechubadim. They are mechubadim. Ki echav nechubadim umulim. They are worthy of covered and lofty people. Achibra osam osam bacha ba'avaso v'tahavaso lehem. He cried, what he called, out of his love and his desire to, we call it, to be with them, not just as family, but as because they're lofty people. Ki misloni al zman ha'predash nifrats mehem. Nifrat mehem. Because he's crying over the fact that he lost the opportunity to be in their presence, in their lofty presence for such a long time. So it's another form of crying. Right? Another form of crying. Each one, tefillah, rachamim, what do you call it? To raise up somebody else, to show someone else is what do you call it, is more mechubad. Even the world of his emotions is what do you call it, is all directed, right, called for purposes. Then
here's another cry.
More. Vayipol al tzavrei binyamin, so when he reveals himself, right? So he cries. What do you call it? He falls on his on Binyamin's neck. Vayevk, he cries, Binyamin Bachal Tzavarov. And Binyamin cried on his, what do you call it, on his neck. Says Rashi, Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochi Vayevk. What did he cry about there? Right? It's not the same crying, right? Right? In other words, it's such an interesting thing. To his brothers, he cries a brotherly cry. Because he has to show them that, what he called, that he's his brother, he loves them, right? Binyamin, he doesn't have to show that, because that's self-understood that he loves Binyamin, right? Self-understood. What does he cry with Binyamin, and Binyamin cries with him? They don't have to show their love, right? Because they know that they love each other. They cry over, right, called two cryings on Binyamin's. He cries, what do you call it? He says, Vayipo al tzavre Binyamin of achi vayifk. Al shnei mikdashos, he cries over the two batei mikdash, that will be in the, what do you call it, in the chelik of Binyamin. The Beis HaMikdash is primarily in the chelik of Binyamin.
So they will be destroyed.
Well, they'll be destroyed. And Binyamin cries on his neck, right? Why? Because the Mishkan and Shiloh, which will be destroyed, right? The Mishkan, which is in the chelik of Yosef, will be destroyed. So those, that's their crying. They don't need to cry, right, to show their love for one another. They cry over what he called over what he called the future, right? Of what's going to befall their what he called the Jewish people and in the place, in the section of the Shvatim which they were responsible for. What's the idea of crying up on their necks? Says Chassam Sofer, Vayipol al Tzavri Binyamin. Amr Chazal, a beis bate mikdash, you bechelkosh binyamin, vasidim lechorev, vainin bezer, was the idea of the neck. Ki beis a mikdash nikrat tzavar, beshir ashirim, tzavarech ke migdal hashen, right? The beis a mikdash is called the neck, right? Like it says in the beis, in shir ashirim, that your neck, right? Your neck is like what he called an ivory tower. Vayu, ki eino mishamesh ele betzavar azeh shurak b'shvil v'derech v'rosh l'leiv. Right? Why? Because what's the neck? The neck's purpose is to serve, right, a connector between the head and the heart. Right? Between the head and the heart. V'derech m'rosh l'leiv. Right? Shurak b'shvil v'derech m'rosh l'leiv, from the head to the heart. L'hamtzi l'sham hasichliel shevamoach. To bring, as it were, in other words, the neck, as it were, is the highway of bringing the thoughts, the truths of the mind into what he called into the world of feeling of the heart. Umealev lamoach lahamtzi lasham koach achiyuni shivalev, and the vibrance of life is brought from the heart back to the head, right, as it were. Ulahamtzi, and the goal also of the heart is lahamtzi macholim el tocha guf, to bring sustenance, right, to all of the guf. Ulahotzi machshavto l'acherim al dei diburo, and to bring what we call one's dibur out to the outer world. So in other words, the truths over here come down through the, what do you call it, through the neck, yeah, down to the heart. The heart in turn, right? The heart in turn brings what he called, brings life to the head and to the entire body. And the heart, it gives the person the ability to speak out, right? To speak out the truths that have descended from the mind into the heart, right? To speak it out, what he called, into the outside world. Umealev lamoach, ulahamtzi lasham koach, achiyuni shablev, ulahamtzi macholim al toch haguf, lahotzi machshavto lachem al yedei diburo. V'chein beis hamikdash, and so too is the beis hamikdash. Beis HaMikdash, Shar HaShamayim, is the gateway to heaven, right? L'hamtzi shefa me'arosh avinu shebashamayim, to bring down the all the emanations, what do you call it, of goodness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koviyachol and Shamayim down, what do you call it, down to Yisrael here on the
Beis
HaMikdash
is considered the neck.
Right, the neck. Mimata, and as it were, to give koach, yeah, to the presence of the Shekhinah in the world through bringing our korbanos, which shows our commitment, our submission, our service to the Creator. So that in turn brings what we call life, right, to the record to upstairs, so that the Shekhinah can become more resplendent over here. I devotes beis hamikdash, many yotzeis horah v'torah lechol olam, and the beis hamikdash is also the place where the Sanhedrin sits, where the Torah goes out to the world. So the beis hamikdash is literally the neck, right? Literally the neck. They would call it the truths of Shemayim, the Shefa, all the good comes down from Shemayim down to what he called the Arts via the Beis HaMikdash. Through the Beis HaMikdash, what he called the Korbanos, right? That Hashem's Ratzon is being done, as it were, what he called, brings up to give vibrance, what he called, the ability to, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to send down more good things here. Plus also in the Beis HaMikdash, just like the Dibur of a person, yeah? He comes out of his mouth, so too from the Beis HaMikdash, from there comes out the Divrei Torah to the entire world. So that's tears of the future. Tears of the future, what's going to be? What's going to be? Right? What's going to be? Right? About that loss. underneath that we call the, these are the tears of love. We talked about Kaktes before. That's when he embraced all of his brothers. First, he dealt with Binyamin. Then, the rest of his brothers. Vayinashik l'chol echa vayev kalem achin dibru echa vitol. They spoke with him, etc. He showed their his love for them, right? Because they needed to be reminded that he loved them, right? After all they did to him, right? Etc. And after all, he put them through the ringer here. Again, it was for their benefit. But he had to show them he loved them. He cried tears of love with them. Right? Sam Sofer says, on the Pasuk, Vayipol Atzav Binyamin Achiv.
When was that Pasuk?
That was when he cried on Binyamin. He says, we saw it, we discussed that, right? We just discussed it. He's crying on Binyamin about the Churban of the Tubat HaMikdash and Binyamin crying on his neck because of the destruction of Shiloh. Shiloh was also like, it wasn't like the Beis HaMikdash, but it was also one of the, like a neck, etc. Says the Sam Sofer, he says, Chamesh b'chios bacha Yosef. Yosef, in these parshas, in parshas Miketz, yeah, and in Vayigash, he cries five times. Five times. Two in Miketz, right? Right? The first time he saw them. And then, after he hears them being mischaret, right? And when he hears him being mischaret, and what we call it, and when he sees Binyamin, right? When he sees Binyamin.
In Miketz.
And then three more cryings in Vayigash. The Gimel, the Parshas Vayigash, he cries on Binyamin, he cries with his brothers, and then soon we'll see he cries on his father. Chamesh Bechios. He cried five episodes of crying. Mishtei Einav, from his two eyes. Havalei Asara Demos. Those are ten tears. Ten tears.
He cried ten tears?
Right, ten tears.
How can he cry without tears? And he only had 10 tears.
The idea is each crying, at least it gives a tear. One from each eye. Ten tears. And that's what Latakin Yud Tipin Vayafozu's Roy Yodov. With the Maisa, with what he called Parshas Vayeshev. When the Ashes Potiphar, right, tried to seduce him. And he wouldn't be seduced, but he was aroused, and he put his hands into the ground, right, and out of each of his fingers came a drop of what he called of zera, right. That's why he never had those what he called never had 10 kids, right. So as a kapara, as it were, what he called the 10 tears of were 10 tears of cleansing, right. The tears, these tears, different types of tears. Tears of tefillah and tears of for someone else's pain and tears to assure another person of his love and tears of what he called of the future churban. All those tears, the 10 tears, are mechaper and the 10 tipos, zera, what he called that he lost. So says the, what he called, says the Chassam Sofer. Who is Yosef? So it says, it says in the Navi, like what is his, you know, what is his derech? His derech, right? His derech. Let's see the Hamikdash over here. The Hamikdash here is commenting on the words of Yechezkel, which are in the Haftorah from Parshas Vayigash. Right? Divrei Yechezkel.
We're
going to understand just a little bit more about Yosef, mm-hmm. Right? A little bit more about Yosef in terms of who exactly is he vis-a-vis the other Shvatim. As we already saw, he collects all the other Shvatim, and he's trying to make sure they do tshuva, right? All those things, etc.
He was the head.
Right, but how does it work? So the Navi in Yechezkel says in the vision to Yechezkel, Hashem says to him, Kachacha eitz echad, take one piece of wood, uchsov alav Yehuda, ulivnei Yisrael chaverav. Write upon this piece of wood, right? As oftentimes with the Nevi'im, the Nevu'ah came along. The Nevu'ah came along with a physical expression to concretize the Nevu'ah in the world. Sometimes you shoot arrows, sometimes this, that, the next thing. So over here in this Nevu'ah, right, Hashem tells the Navi Yechezkel, take a piece of wood, right, and write upon it, or branch, take a branch, and write upon it Yehuda and his friends. Bnei Yisrael Chavirav, and the Jewish people, his friends. Ulekach Eitz Echad, and then take another branch. Uchsovel of Yosef Eitz Ephraim, for Yosef, the branch of Ephraim. V'chol Beis Yisrael Chavirav, and all of Beis Yisrael, his friends. So note, by Yehuda, it says, Bnei Yisrael Chavirav. By Ephraim.
Who are Yehuda's friends?
It means the other Shvatim. Right? The other members of Klal Yisrael.
Why do you say Yehuda is his brother?
Is friend? Those who attach themselves to him. Chaver is notion of chibur. Right? Those who attach themselves to him. Right? That's why I use the terminology. You know, the rest of the Shvatim, the rest of the Jewish people, they attach themselves to Yehuda. So by Yehuda, it says Bnei Yisrael Chaverav. It says the Jewish people who attach themselves to Yehuda, to Yehuda's leadership. And then by Yosef, it says Kol Beis Yisrael, all of Beis Yisrael. Right? Who attach themselves to what he called to Yosef. So that implies that the more people attach themselves, what he called to Yosef, than attach themselves to Yehuda. But why? Beish Lahavin, says the what he called the Nesiv. Why is that? Ela inyan de eitz Yehuda koach haTorah, because the koach of Yehuda is Torah. And the koach of Yosef, as we see here, is Gemilas Chesed. Just like he sustained his father, his brothers, their families, right? Pasuk says, Tov Ayin Yevorach, one who has a good eye will always be blessed. Zay Yosef, that's Yosef. Because what did he do? He fed all of what he called his family, right? They tried to kill him, and he in turn fed all of them. He had a good eye. That's why Ayin Hara doesn't rest upon Yosef, because he has a good eye. He's a good eye. That's why Mishkan Shiloh, when Korbanos, you know, you could eat as long as you could see, B'chol HaRoeh, as long as you could see Shiloh, which was in the Chalik of Yosef, you're allowed to eat Kutchin. Inside Yerushalayim, you can only eat within the walls. But in Shiloh, when there was Kutchin to eat, as long as you saw it. Why? Because it was the portion of Yosef, because he had a good eye. He had a good eye. And because he was so given to chesed, to taking care, right? To taking care of what he called of them, etc. So that's why more people felt attached to that hanukkah.
That was Yehuda as well. We discussed that
He took arvus, he took responsibility for what he called for Binyamin.
Yeah, but you already said Yehuda was the one who reached out to the people.
No, his derech avoda was mihislavus. Was the avoda of the heart. That's why they were able to relate to his form of avoda.
Yehuda.
Right. Yosef's was what he called, was one of the head. They didn't know where he was.
Right.
Right. But here we're talking about in terms of giving, Yosef was, he was the giver. He took care of them. So just as we see that what he called, he kept care of them physically, we see all through all of what he called, all the things that are taking place over here, he took care of them, like also spiritually. And I'll just think. Perish. The different things that you gravitate to different people.
And who was Yosef then? God, Yehuda.
Yehuda was leading the Torah. He's the one who's going to implement the laws. Right? He's making sure you're not going to mess up. He's implementing the laws. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Chelik of the Sanhedrin was in the portion of Yehuda. Right? Oh, even though the rest of it was in the portion of Binyamin for all intents and purposes, but we called the portion of the Sanhedrin with the Torah with instruction to guide the Jewish people.
That was in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, saying the Beis HaMikdash.
That one portion that was in the Beis HaMikdash was Yehuda's?
He's in Yehuda's.
Who came? The surveyors came and said this one was in Yehuda's? That's an amazing thing. How did they determine that?
God's brother determined it. The Holy One, blessed be He. Okay. Finally, the last set of tears. The tears of Yosef and Yaakov. Vayaser Yosef Merkavto. This is when, in our parsha here, when Yaakov arrives. Right? Yosef puts together his own chariot. right? Lekras Yisrael, to greet his father, Aviv, Goshen, the land of Goshen. Vayera Elav, and he appeared to him. Who appeared to whom? It's not clear. Vayipol al Tzavarov, and he fell upon his neck. Vayefk al Tzavarov od, and he cried on his neck exceedingly. Exceedingly. So Rashi says, Vayefk al Tzavarov, he cried on the neck od exceedingly. Loshen harbos bechia, he cried exceedingly.
Yeah, right? Did he have a lot of tears then?
I guess. Okay, yeah, I guess so. V'chein uki al ish yasim od, whatever the word od means exceedingly. Okay, we lost this pasuk in the Yov. Okay. So what is he crying?
Why is Yosef crying?
Why is he crying?
Why is he so much?
Right?
Okay.
Right? We see everything is, you know, was controlled by him. Right? You know, he cries for this one's betfil, and he cries for this one's pain, and he cries. He's v'amar v'yef kal tzavarav od. Oh, and what do you call it? And then in addition, right, what do you call it? I'm sorry, but in Rashi before, it says that only one person is crying. Because I'll say Yosef is crying. And what was Yaakov doing?
He was saying
Shema. Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema. Saying Shema. So now, says the Tzroar Mor. Tzroar Mor says, Harotza mezeh shenafel Yosef al tzavrei aviv. He fell upon his father's neck. Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav. He cried on his father, my father, my father, you are the chariot of the Jewish people. You are the chariot and the horsemen of the Jewish people. You are, our chariot. Right? He just kept on crying and crying. But Yaakov didn't cry upon Yosef's neck.
What does chariot mean?
Like the means of conveyance. You are the one who carries the Jewish people, just like what we call like the Merkava, right? Whatever the Merkava of Hashem, right? That makes Hashem's presence in the world. It brings his divine providence from one thing to the next, right? The Merkava. So Yaakov is the Rechav Yisrael of Parashav. You are the chariot of the Jewish people.
He carries the word of Hashem, the responsibility, he carries the closest to Hashem.
Right, right.
He's the tzaddik of the time.
Right, right. Bidyuk. Varem is bezes, as it's drawn more. Mashakasavti besod hasulam. Right? The rem is Yaakov being called Kriyishma. Why is he being called Kriyishma? Ki Yaakov yodol liyached es Hashem mikol odam. Yaakov knew how to be meyached Hashem's name more than any other person. Right, to recognize that Hashem is Echad ve'ein od milvado, and that's the lichur kol advarim v'chol olamos elu be'elu, to tie everything in the upper worlds, everything in the lower worlds, and say it's all one, all the disparate forces, all the divergent forces, all the different things happening, it's all one, it's all Hashem's ratzon. There is nothing else other than Hashem's ratzon. He was the master of that. Besod sulam mutzav arts of arosha magia shamayma. He was like, what do you call it? He was like, literally, like the ladder, right? That he saw in his dream in Parshas Vayetze, the ladder that stretched from the earth to the heavens, right? That was Yaakov. Yaakov himself was like that ladder that reached, stretched from the earth to the heavens. He connected everything that he understood, everything that he saw, that everything he experienced, right? He transformed it. It's all one. It's all Hashem's will. Lefi shebo soda yichud, right? And because he was the master of Yichud Hashem, of recognizing that Hashem is the only objective reality, and demonstrating it, right? Through his attachment to Torah, through etc. Zochli Korea Yichud al Shmo, v'lo Shema Ovos. That's why it says, it would call, that's why when we're Miyachid Hashem, when Mekabel Olam HaShemayim, what do we say? We use Yaakov's name, Shema Yisrael. Mm-hmm. We don't say Shema Avram Yitzchak. We say Shema Yisrael, right?
It's interesting. Over Hanukkah, I read this mimer.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the pasuk about Yosef Yaakov Levado. He talked about how Yaakov was a representative of Yichud Hashem.
No, you okay? Of Anu Omrim Shema Yisrael, etc. One step further.
You're saying his own name.
What?
Yaakov said Shema Yisrael.
He's saying to
speak. Yaakov, right. Listen to Shema Yisrael.
Right. But you got to say it to yourself also. It's like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says. You know, sometimes a person, you know, he's Mekabel Olmach HaShemayim. Yeah, Hashem is the master of the universe. He's the master of what he called of everything, you know, from the blue green algae to the, what do you call it, to the blue whales, yeah, to the tip of the, what do you call it, of Orion, etc. And he's the master of my neighbors, especially ones that I don't like, right? He's the master of the guy who cut me off in the street, right? Called, yeah. And the person forgets to be Mekabel Olmach HaShemayim and himself, right? So you gotta save yourself first. He's the Omnam. She's the Guraya. Yesh inyan like the Kriya Shema, Shaya Kore. Yaakov was reading Kriya Shema. Uvizei Yeturat Mashaloya Kore Yosef Kriya Shema. Yaakov was reading Kriya Shema, Yosef wasn't. Lefi Shekasher Bo Yaakov Vera Es Yosef Beno Melech. Because this was the opportunity. Yaakov, who didn't know what happened to Yosef all these years, and now he saw that Yosef was the king, right? His heart welled up with Ava and Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eich midos of him tovos or shlemos. How his midos, the way he conducts himself, the way he reveals himself, are so perfect and so good. Right? We don't always get the opportunity to see what he call how the story ends. But here Yaakov got the opportunity. Right? U'mishalim sachar tov li'yireyav. And he pays a reward to all those who stand in fear of him. Vezel midas hachasidim, and this is the way of the chasidim. Asher yikra lehem tov, when something good happens to them, mizdabkim el hakadosh baruch hu, they attach themselves to hakadosh baruch hu. When something good happens to them, they attach themselves to hakadosh baruch hu. Ala tovos vaemes shaasa imayim, through all the, what do you call, through all the good that he did for them. And they don't just accept the good and say, "Well, thanks, Charlie," right, and walk away, right? But they increase their dveikus on Hashem through the experience of the good that they've received. V'zeo Kriya Shema Shebo Nizkar Yichud Malchus Shamayim. That's Kriya Shema, that Hashem is one. V'avaso, and V'avtos Hashem Elokecho. V'roi Haya Likros Kriya Shema Kasher Boilav Yosef. It was so appropriate for him to be called Kriya Shema, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his world upside down and inside out, his son who he thought was lost, what he called, and now Lehefech, everything, his son has lived to be the extension of him, right? In just the way he wanted him to be, right? Like the Pasuk says, V'haya beis Yaakov eish, beis Yosef lahava, that Yosef becomes the flame that carries fire, Yaakov's fire. Achrei atzar agadol, after all the suffering, all the pain that he had, Asher hayalo b'avuro, because of Yosef. V'ata royal so melech, and now he sees him a king. Hayoyev is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He loved the Rabbon Shem Asher Oselo Zed that did for him this. V'kibo malchuso v'avoso v'yiroso v'zed nachon l'mevin. That's what he quotes. So that's what he did.
He understood.
Right, he understood. So I want to suggest, v'nilani yastaiti, that we quote that Yosef's exceeding crying, right, his excessive crying on his father, right, shall Yosef Hayibadavkal Tsavorov. No, remember, it says he cried on his neck. Chasam Sofer told us before, what's the neck? The neck is what he calls the base of Mikdash. But he already did that with what he called with Binyamin for two Bate Mikdash and Binyamin did for Shiloh.
Now he did
Yah because Yaakov was the neck. Especially when Yaakov is being Kore Kriya Shema. In other words, it's not that Yaakov is being what he calls, he's being very adish, as they say, very stoic over here. Okay, no time for emotion, I'm crying Kriya Shema. Yaakov is being Kore Kriya Shema. He's being Miachet Hashem in the world, and Yosef, what he's doing, he cries on him, this is the way the world is meant to be. This is what he calls, my father is the neck of the world.
Yaakov himself is.
He is the Mesa Mikdash. He's the Mesa Mikdash of the world. Right? Like the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Hema, the Jewish people. When Yaakov is the embodiment of all the Jewish people. So that's why Yosef is crying, Bedafka, on his father as being called Kriya Shema, because that is the statement par excellence that he is the tzavar, right, of the world. That's why more call him the sulam of the world. They call him the ladder of the world, but they're using the Chasam Sofer. He was the tzavar of the world, the connection between, right, called the Rosh and the rest of the goof. Okay. Bezer Hashem. We should be zocha to understand even some of this. And how have I lived some of it too?